this is such a potent time, you know, right now when we're in quarantine, when we don't have the stimulation we usually do, to really, you know, rein in your mind, right? Like, the only thing we can really control in this world is ourselves. Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in and welcome back to the show where we analyze cultural trends, experiment with self-mastery, and challenge the status quo. I am Morgan May, and today we are discussing dopamine addiction and detox, specifically in quarantine. But first, before we get started, I just want to plug a really dear friend of mine, Mike Jones. I commissioned him to do the artwork for my show, and I'm so thrilled about how it came out. He is so talented. He's easily the number one, no contest, number one funniest person that I've ever come into contact with. And he is a brilliant illustrator as well. He has an Instagram account and an Amazon book. The whole thing when he got there is the book. The whole thing when they got there is the Instagram account. I'll plug everything in the description, but I just wanted to shout him out. Thank you again, Mike. So today we're discussing dopamine addiction and dopamine detox in quarantine. And you may be wondering what the two kind of have to do with each other. So I will start off with a little brief anecdote about kind of what, you know, brought me down this rabbit hole. So a couple weeks ago, I kind of was an earlier adopter into quarantine. So like since mid-March, I've kind of been quarantining myself. And I had stocked up on food and whatever. I didn't need to leave for about 2.5 weeks. So the first time I left quarantine was quite an experience. So right now I'm on Manhattan. I'm in New York, and quarantine here is definitely different, compared to if you are in a house or the suburbs or somewhere that isn't so densely populated. So literally I was just in my apartment, the same setting, alone for 3 weeks. My first time leaving, I wanted to get some meat and eggs and perishable things that I didn't have. And my experience leaving was wild. So obviously I walked out my front door, the sun hitting my face was kind of a religious experience. I said a prayer, and I was just I had this whole just reaction and deep gratitude for the sun. I was kind of nervous because in the beginning everyone was still kind of what the heck is going on, very fearful. I feel that energy for me anyways is waning now, but it certainly in the beginning it was just kind of nobody really knew what to expect. I was walking down an otherwise incredibly busy street. There were no cars at all. And it was just it was super bizarre, super weird experience. Get to Whole Foods. Everyone is super scared, standing 6 feet from each other. There was a line they wanted to control how many people were in the building. So once I got in, I waited online and I got in, I really started noticing what was happening in my body. And I was all of a sudden in a great mood. I was looking at the fruit and the colors of the fruit were beautiful to me and highly saturated. This whole experience, it sounds like I was on drugs, honestly. It reflecting on it, I'm was this a mushroom trip? But no, this is just my first day out of my apartment since quarantine in about 3 weeks. So all this has a point, I swear. So the fruit, it was just incredibly saturated. I just felt my brain kind of lighting up, walking through the cheese section, the fragrance, I remember. And I was just I don't know, it was a new experience in that regard. And, I'm walking through the aisles and I'm noticing that I am singing to myself, kind of softly, and not even, this isn't terribly out of character for me, but I could observe what was happening in my body, and I was lit up. I was loving this song, and the song was Third Eye Blind's Miss Me When I'm Gone. Okay, which is like this random alt, I've looked it up later, random alt rock song from like 2003 or 2004. So like about like, you know, 15 years ago or something crazy over that. And, but I was like loving it. Like I was just like kind of getting into it and like really feeling good. Like I was around other human beings. And although like, I mean, I'm in New York City, everyone's a stranger. I hadn't seen or like been around human beings physically for like 3 weeks. So it was just like, I was just like feeling really good. And I was in like a really good mood. As I'm walking down these aisles, I'm noticing all of the people that I'm passing, about like four or five or like six people that I was passing. No, I noticed they were all also like singing to this like alt rock song from 2003. And it was so funny to me because this isn't like, it wasn't like, you know, the latest like Ariana Grande bop or like Bieber bop that's so catchy that like everyone kind of like knows. It was, it's not like, you know, like a timeless classic either, like Don't Stop Believin'. It was just this like literally random 2003 alt rock song from like Third Eye Blind. And no, not Third Eye Blind, Three Doors Down. And no shade to Three Doors Down, but like just like, it was pretty random, like 2020 global pandemic, like I don't know, just kind of random. And I it hit me that we are all living in this like deprivation state where we're in our apartments every single day looking at the same things, doing the same things, you know, totally stripped of the otherwise like stimulus that we are usually immersed in. And not only that, but like on top of that, there's a tremendous amount of like fear and anxiety and unknown, you know? So, you know, where otherwise our moods might be at like a 7, 8, 9, you know, we have now stripped away all the stimulation that kind of gets us up. Even social interaction can be that. And then, you know, taking us further back is like, you know, doomsday, like fear and all of that. So, you know, we're at a 7, maybe now we're at like a negative, like 2 or 3 with everything piled on. I just thought it was so interesting, especially with this one song, because it was so random. And something I know from like my marketing background is nostalgia is such a clever marketing tactic. And the reason why is because it really takes people back to like simpler times, happy times. So like everyone was kind of together, like singing this random song, but we were, you know, the drawing force, I guess, was, I mean, A, this is like stimulation, right? It's like a song we wouldn't normally put on, or like it was new kind of. And the second thing is that, you know, it's bringing us back to like not global pandemic vibes. So this kind of happened. I observed this going on, and around the same time, I think it was a little bit either before or after, I had noticed my own behavior. So I was alone with myself for I think like 2.5-3 weeks before like leaving my apartment. And so I was just like with myself, like living in quarantine, which is, it's kind of like a weird space, right? Because on the one hand, we have all of the boundaries, right? Like we can't physically leave our apartment. We're confined by the bounds of our physical walls. But on the other hand, there's kind of like no boundaries because, you know, everything is like shut down. You know, there's not a lot going on. So in addition to this kind of abnormal, I guess you could say, event of like noticing, you know, multiple people in Whole Foods singing along to this like random alt rock song, and like, you know, my internal experience of like looking at the fruit and, you know, like being happy that I'm around those 6 feet removed, like total complete strangers in a grocery store. I was also noticing some behaviors that I was participating in. So I was more addicted to my phone than usual, checking it constantly. I had a really high screen time, with something like 6 or 8 hours a day, which is crazy. I was using social media more and more, YouTube particularly. At this time, I had given up Instagram for Lent, but it was still kind of trickling into my reality. Like last Lent, I was super disciplined and I gave up YouTube, didn't touch it for like the whole 40 days. This time, like Instagram was kind of you know, in my periphery, I wasn't scrolling, but I would like go on it when I wasn't supposed to be on it. I noticed around food, I mean, I give myself kind of a break. Like, everyone was so stressed out, and sometimes I will go to food to quell, you know, just like, it's comfort food. And like, I know that I have this, but like, you know, 2 weeks on end of like eating things to make me like feel better, you know, mainly more carb heavy, sugar heavy things, like totally not ideal. And I just, yeah, noticed I just didn't have the willpower that I usually did surrounding food or do surrounding food. And I also noticed I was drinking way too much caffeine, like 2 cups of coffee a day, sometimes more, which is like too much for me. Like, I can't really handle that. So I noticed all these things that I was kind of doing, in particular the phone stuff and the food stuff, was really like, you know, kind of, I was able to see it kind of under a microscope, because like, that's all I'm doing all day. So all of that to say, I think it's so important right now when we're all in quarantine and we don't have any, you know, boundaries really other than the confines of our home and, you know, boundaries from other people, to really understand how our brains work normally in the culture, and, you know, maybe how they're adapting now that we're home, so that we can really do what we can to, be the best people that we can be. Like, if we have all this time now and we're at home just endlessly scrolling on social media, or, you know, doing things that aren't helping us, it just might not be like the best, I guess, use of this time. I think actually this time where a lot of people can feel like they're set back from achieving their goals, something like a dopamine detox, or really mindfully like getting a grip on some of your own behaviors that you can control, it's like pretty ideal. Like, I heard about this concept months ago, but I just, my life is so busy, and friends and dinners and all of it. Like, there's no time to really like do a full dopamine fast, but quarantine, I think, is like ideal for this. And so I'm really excited to talk about it. So dopamine is dubbed the pleasure chemical. It's actually a neurotransmitter and a hormone, and it is responsible for rewarding us for good behavior, or motivating us, which is really interesting. So something to help kind of illustrate what dopamine looks like in a more extreme environment, a study that was done, these scientists hooked electrodes up to the brains of rats, and they put them in an environment with a lever. And every time the rats pulled the lever, the scientists would trigger the electrode, which was hooked up to their reward center. So every time the rat pulled the lever, he'd get a hit of dopamine. And so what ended up happening, the rat continuously pulled the lever over and over and over and over and over and over again, to the point of sacrificing. He was no longer motivated to do anything else, to eat, to sleep, nothing. He was just pulling and pulling the lever, like obviously kind of in like an addictive state. So this would happen until the rats literally just passed out from exhaustion, and probably like not eating or drinking or anything. So conversely, the scientists, you know, went to the other extreme, and they blocked the rats from producing dopamine in their brains. And what ended up happening was the rats didn't want to eat or sleep or procreate or socialize or anything. They had no motivation. It was like as if they were depressed. If the scientists put food in their mouths, they would eat it, but they were not motivated to like to work for that, you know, like to put any effort in whatsoever to like meeting their basic needs of survival. So we need dopamine. Dopamine drives us, it motivates us to do things like socialize with other humans, like procreate, feed ourselves, like things that our species like need. But when, you know, presented in higher like doses, or when presented with, you know, more stimulus that kind of sets off those reactions in our brain, what ends up happening is we become heavily out of balance. It kills our motivation, kills our willpower, kills our, ability to maintain attention on something, and it decreases the satisfaction that we get from doing the things that we love. And I can kind of speak to this. Like, I've been in quarantine, right? And I was spending my time on social media, like eating carbs, like not doing, like, not creating anything. Like, these things that I have, like, said that I want to do for so long, I just have had all these excuses. But finally, like, I couldn't hide from anything. I was just, like, with myself, like, looking at my own stuff and, like, looking at the fact that I wasn't doing anything that I wanted to. Like, you know, meeting any of my goals. And I had to ask myself why. And it's because, like, writing and creating, they didn't get me high. Basically, like, they didn't, like, set the thing off in my brain that all these other things were kind of setting off. So I wasn't motivated to, which is sad. It's, like, so sad, but it made me angry. So I took action and kind of went down this path, and it's been so fruitful, honestly. I mean, this is my first podcast episode. I've been working on so many creative projects. One very special personal development project. Like, it's been productive on, like, a soul level. But I kind of needed to take this step to get there. So when we look at the kind of culture today, we can see, or like the terrain, the environment that we live in, right? We live in a very highly stimulating environment, right? There's so much stimulus absolutely everywhere. And stimulus in the sense that it will set off dopamine and these chemical reactions in our brain. I think so many times we kind of, like, I don't know. I haven't always been conscious of the fact that, like, the chemical reactions happen in our bodies, you know, like when we fall in love, like that's just a host of chemicals, like, happening in our brains. Like, when we eat comfort food, right? Yeah. We love comfort food, but, like, why? It's because it's setting off. It's not just because, like, you know, chocolate cake is amazing. It's because, like, it is literally setting off a chemical reaction in our brain. So when this is happening constantly in our day-to-day life, because, you know, the things that are good for us, right, like social interaction, procreation, eating, and they're kind of warped into social media, where, you know, you have access to, like, 2 billion people, basically, and constant, like, new things. Like, yes, we're social animals, but, you know, I think we thrive in a social environment of, like, 150 people versus, like, the thousands and thousands of followers that we have. Or sex, right? That's super important for the species, but we live in this environment where it's, you know, promiscuity is very mainstream, or, you know, immodesty, I guess you could call it, like, where sex is, I guess, accessible. And I mean, porn is free and, like, everywhere. So, you know, it leads to a very kind of unnatural and more synthetic environment that we're just not, like, built for. Like, the natural order of our brains too can, like, tell us this, because we're all kind of now addicted to dopamine. Like, if this stuff was natural, then it wouldn't cause such an intense chemical reaction in our brain, or we would have the capacity to have, like, a higher baseline of it. But I think my example, I spoke to it because I think so many of us experience this kind of plight. Some other things that trigger dopamine release that is kind of everywhere and more mainstream: sugar, caffeine, alcohol, shopping, our phones, obviously social media, like I mentioned. All these things, again, like, are just so ingrained as part of the culture. So when we use even just a little bit of it, it's like the thing with dopamine, or with drugs in general, and I think actually porn is a great example of this, because, you know, you see the stimulus, right? And your brain likes it and it wants more of that. So it'll tell you to continue feeding it with whatever just triggered that reaction in our brains. But, like, in the instance of porn, for example, like, you need a little bit more than the last high that you got. You need a little bit more. So maybe the kinds of content that you're watching get, like, a little bit more intense, or a little bit more intense, or, you know, more of it. Like, you're consuming more of it. It's just, it kind of builds, because your baseline, like, your threshold kind of, you know, gets higher and higher and higher. It's like alcohol, right? Like, if you're drinking alcohol every single night, you're going to have a much higher tolerance for alcohol than, like, someone who's having, you know, their first shot in, like, a year. So if you think about it like that too, it kind of makes sense why in this quarantine we're in a deprivation withdrawal kind of state, and therefore looking to things like social media or eating comfort food or our phones to kind of compensate and like keep our levels at the same kind of baseline that we're used to. So this kind of reaction of dopamine, right, that happens in the brain, it's pretty universal across all humankind. But I think, you know, in what I've noticed anyway, that in my experience, maybe some people would have a different relationship to others. So like me, for example, I know I have a pretty high propensity for chaos. Like it's either discipline or oblivion for me. Like I know if I don't have some form of like structure, it's not productive at all. So I think that's why I'm so drawn to self-mastery, is because like it's like I'm taming all this kind of chaos, like bringing order to this chaos so I can be productive and live like a healthy and liberated life. So for me, I think part of that is like I'm very highly sensitive. And so maybe, you know, like a 2 on the dopamine, you know, trigger scale for somebody else would feel like an 8 for me. So, you know, especially I think if you're more sensitive, if you are, you know, highly creative, have a high propensity for chaos, I think something like this is super beneficial because it, you know, it lowers your baseline. So you're able to kind of like keep everything else like under control and managed, which is something that I've definitely found, especially lately and since, you know, lowering the dopamine in my brain. So I started with a pretty intense dopamine detox. And what that looked like was, you know, I first addressed my phone. I put everything on black and white. I took all notifications off. I deleted all social media and all dating apps. As far as entertainment, there was no music. There was no TV. There was no books even. And also sugar was just off limits. So this kind of level of intensity lasted a few days. I was mindful during this time that like I have a propensity to kind of self-isolate and pull away from like everyone that I love during, you know, I don't know, things like this. So I didn't want to do that totally. I told some friends and family what I was doing, so they knew that my notifications were off. I was still text messaging, but just not as frequently. There was, you know, and there still is, I've kept my notifications off, but, you know, extremely large stretches of time where I just like wouldn't look at my phone, even though I wanted to. So there was still some kind of withdrawal, but it was a very mindful and intuitive process. And I kind of talk to my body sometimes. I mentioned that in some previous content that I put out, but it's a paradigm that works for me where I kind of believe we're like a spirit and a body, like living in a body. And so like if I'm ever making a change, I just like to like check in with myself and let myself like know what we're doing, and like that yes, these cravings are okay, but like we're not doing that right now. We're not eating, you know, Ezekiel bread with honey or like, you know, going on social media. Like we're not doing that. Like this is like still in silent time. So I think that really helped. And I would definitely recommend, if you're going to start this process, starting with like a fasting of all of the things that you can do for as long as you feel like you need to. So I did this for probably less than a week, probably about 5 days. And then I slowly started incorporating things back into my day to day. So I'll tell you where I'm at now anyways. What I've done to kind of keep dominion over myself and my mind. I've kept my phone in black and white. I've kept all notifications off except for phone calls. So I allow people to contact me like in that way if they need to reach me, especially in like a global pandemic. I thought it was important. I have re-downloaded YouTube, but I try to watch it in black and white as much as I can. And I stick to that pretty well. And it makes it so I don't kind of fall in these endless rabbit holes just because my brain isn't as, I think, excited by the color. I've kept kind of minimal other social media. So like I really only go on Instagram and I'm not posting. I don't really scroll so much anymore. Honestly, I think my Lent like 40-day fast from that was really helpful in that way. And with my diet, I started tracking every single thing that I ate. I've never been able to stick to that in the past. Like, the concept of, like, doing something so mundane every single day is just not appealing to me. But I made myself do it because I'm like, Morgan, like, you're literally sitting, like, feet away from your kitchen. Like, we need to implement, like, boundaries, and you need to understand, like, what we're putting into your body. So I have, like, a calorie tracker app, and I also decided to do full carnivore again. Like, the sugar, I was eating it emotionally, and it's just, like, not conducive to, like, some of the health things I'm healing from right now. So cut out everything, basically, except for animal products. Feeling incredible doing that, too. So kind of just creating boundaries around, like, the kinds of things that I was eating, how much I was eating. That helped me so much, and I'm down. For example, like, weight loss has been a big initiative of mine. I'm down 7 pounds since starting this kind of journey, which is amazing. Like, I'm so happy about it. Also, I cut my caffeine intake in half or more. I bought decaf coffee beans, and I ground or mix them up with, like, regular coffee beans for kind of like a half calf, but I think there's even less than 50% caffeine. So I went through pretty bad withdrawals the first 2 days, like headaches and stuff, but totally worth it. But probably the most profound benefit that I have seen is I am creating again, and I'm really into personal development again. So I mean, I've always been into personal development, but I'm really, like, you know, dedicating time to my spiritual practice, to personal development practice, like, every single day, which feels amazing. And, like, doing this, like, recording my first podcast, like, it feels incredible. And yeah, I'm, like, motivated to do it now. Like, I feel like I kind of, like, got a grip. And I really want to encourage everyone to kind of explore this idea too, and explore, you know, go inward, explore your relationship to certain things, and if any of these anecdotes or, you know, quote unquote symptoms of, like, addiction or just your experiences, if you resonate at all, give it a go. Like, this is such a potent time, you know, right now when we're in quarantine, when we don't have the stimulation we usually do, to really, you know, rein in your mind, right? Like, the only thing we can really control in this world is ourselves. And really, you know, sinking into that and truly mastering ourselves so that we can fulfill the purpose that, you know, we all have within us. And I think, you know, a lot of these triggers for dopamine, they take our attention, right? And they put it on something else. And, you know, our attention is one of the most valuable things that we have. Like, you know, whatever we put our mind to or spend our time, whoever we spend our time with, you know, we become those things. Whatever we put into our body, we really become these things. And if you know, we're not exercising our autonomy in choosing these things because we're, like, addicted or at the behest of these chemical reactions in our brain, like, you know, what are we really becoming? So yes, we're not set back. This is an incredibly potent time to level up, to gain dominion over ourselves, to, you know, realign and get back on track to, you know, our purpose and doing things that truly make us happy and fulfilled and that are, you know, productive in those ways. And I would really recommend it to, I mean, anyone and everyone, especially now. So that's the show. Thank you so much for tuning in again. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a comment here or on my Instagram @TheMorganMay. And I will see you next time. Bye.